Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. You know, Sunday school is part and parcel of the service. It's not introduction to the service. It is service. Service starts actually at 8 o'clock. All right. By God's grace, we have been looking at the issue of harvest for the last 10 weeks. And like jokes, it's been 10 lessons. And we give God praise. How many of us have been blessed in this series? Really, I mean, something changed in your mentality about harvest. That is the aim. That is the focus of this lesson, is that we begin to understand harvest from the point of view of the Lord of the harvest. Let's say amen. Now, the Lord of the harvest has a mindset, has a mentality, has expectations concerning harvest. And if we are not well aligned, we can think we are in sync with him, but because of certain lacks of understanding, we might not actually be in cahoots, as it were, with the Lord concerning the issues of the harvest. So that is one of the reasons why this lesson was raised. And I just see it is one major thought the Lord has been pushing almost in all our platforms, because when you speak of harvest, it's just another way of describing sitting on the throne. They would not, to sit on the throne is to be harvested unto God. Amen. So it's just one, Lord, just from many sides, trying to paint an emphasis in the spirit so that we are prepared for what the Lord is doing. Small, I have no doubt in my mind that harvest is in God's mind concerning this convention. And for 10 weeks, he has been preparing us so that we also will be harvested. Don't think of harvest as something that you're just going to help the Lord achieve. Think of harvest more as something the Lord first and foremost wants to do in you, for you, that you might also be usable even with that same project. And the Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. All right. We will just go through a brief summary, highlights of the lessons, 10 lessons, and see how the Lord will lead us in just summarizing what we've learned. And if anyone has any questions, I believe we'll be able to ask, and then we'll be done and prepare for convention. Let's say amen. All right, back to that Matthew chapter 9, which you open to. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Let's start from 37. 37 and 38. All right, it's on the screen. It's on the screen. So let's all look up and read together. Are we ready? Are we all looking up? All right, let's read together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. 1, 2, go. Let's read together, everyone. 1, 2, go. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's say amen. Let's open to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we're reading the parable of the wheat and the tares. Let's just go to the explanation. Let's just go to the interpretation of the parable. And that's from verse 34, if I'm not mistaken, or 37. The interpretation of the parable. Thank you, 34. The beginning of it. Thank you. All right. From 36, we're reading together. It should be on the screen. From 36 to the end of the interpretation. I think it's 43 or 44. All right. Are we ready? Let's read. 1, 2, go. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels. 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his... We're not all reading, let's all read. And shall gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Amen. So the first thing we come to see concerning the issue of harvest is harvest is the end product of sowing. And whilst we can describe every phase of our interaction with the Lord, moving from carnality all the way to the throne as measures or types of harvest, truly there is the great harvest as in God's mind. Amen. But we could view all our various, let's say, milestones in our spiritual trajectory as kinds of harvest. Case in point, when you got born again, when your spirit was regenerated, that could be viewed as a kind of harvest. Though in the overall scheme of things, it is more of a seed sown. But it's a kind of harvest, meaning that your spirit, regenerated human spirit, which was not in you before, was now added to, as was been taught, is added to the body of Christ. You've been added to the kingdom. Your spirit has been added to the body of Christ. Somebody said, one of our pastors said, when you get born again, your spirit is added to the body and your soul is added to the church. Now, we know the reason why they added the soul to the church is primarily to sow it. And that is why, actually, when you think of harvest, the real thing in God's mind concerning harvest is actually a thing of the soul. Amen. It's the soul that is actually after. But he knows that the soul cannot be saved if the spirit is not regenerated. And we do not make light of being born again. Let's say amen. Of course, before you got born again, your spirit was allegiant to Satan. Your spirit hated God. The spirit of every unbeliever, spirit, I'm not saying so, spirit of an unregenerated human being, his spirit hates God, because the spirit is a direct connection to hell and all its resources. If you follow the leading of your spirit when you're not regenerated, you will be led to hell. Your spirit will never agree for you to be born again. Never. God had to bypass that arrangement of Satan through the soul. Because, and this word can confuse some people. Your spirit, those spirits are all God's enemies. But some of them in their soul, they still have an affinity. And it's that affinity that the Lord uses to reach into the spirit and regenerate it. Amen. So the Lord goes through the soul to reach into that unregenerated human spirit, take it out and replace it with a regenerated human spirit. So that could be viewed as a kind of harvest. Why? Because everyone that's born again will end up in heaven. Born again, you die, and you got, but you're born again. Like in the course of study, we described somebody, let's say an armed robber who was shot and on the job, active service. He died in active service, an armed robber. And while he was bleeding out, don't joke with God. Maybe an angel just appeared to him, or the Lord just whispered something to him. Maybe he just remembered his grandmother and tell him, Bajesu. He refused. He just comes back to him, and as he's bleeding out, he says, Lord, have mercy on me. I believe. I can promise you that man is not going to hell. As much as you may want him to go to hell for all the bad things he has done, God, your entry into heaven is based on the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made. Amen. And that cannot be overemphasized. There's no way we are saying that being born again is not important. There will be nobody to enter the kingdom of God if souls are not regenerated, spirits are not regenerated. So you will see a lot of quote unquote strange beings in heaven. Some people you'll be annoyed if you still have anger when you die and you go to heaven and you see some people, you will get angry. Because how did this person come here? Maybe the person did you something and you said, I will never forgive the person. You said so. But the Father forgave him. And he entered, and you said, and he's now your neighbor. Because you that didn't forgive, there's something wrong with you. And he that did you that is also two of you are probably on the same level. And he's now your neighbor. You're the same. And you're like, how can you? And he says, and he looks at you. And you will know him. I don't know whether you remember what he did. I've never died, so I don't know. But I'm just saying, you will know that person. The large heartedness of the Father is something that we must grow to appreciate and accept. Like I told you, if you are in Lagos in the 90s, you will know, you've heard of Shina Rambo. Shina Rambo is a pastor now. But Shina Rambo was terrorizing people in the 90s as an Amroba. Alas, he's a pastor now, preaching. I've listened to his ministration. It's preaching. So going to heaven is a kind of harvest. But that is not the great harvest. Why? Because there are many people who are in heaven who are very far from God. And that's one of the reasons for the church. The church is to bridge the gap. In fact, the reason why Jesus came is to bridge the gap between God and man. And honestly speaking, bridging the gap, though it begins with you getting born again, I can tell you the gap is not really bridged when you get born again. And that's all that's happened to you. There is still plenty gap. And your unawareness or your lack of interest in the gap is what iniquity did to the soul. You can be born again and have no interest in things pertaining to God. That's not a good state. Those that will end up in the great harvest, harvested as well into the kingdom, into the heights of the kingdom where the Lord has planned for all of us. Let's say amen. He said to him that overcometh, I will cause to sit what? With me where? In my throne. Even as I overcame and sat. The fact that you got born again, it does not make you an overcomer. Know this and know peace. You are not an overcomer because you got born again. No. You are supposed to be enrolled into the school of overcoming and walk the walk of overcoming. Why? Because overcoming is a thing of the soul. Amen. Are we together? Overcoming is what? It is a thing of the soul. If the soul does not journey to agree with the arrangement of life that is in your spirit, you are not an overcomer. And unfortunately, and this is where Satan is bad, we have a lot of our brethren, believers, who will leave this earth and they will not be overcomers. They will have to go and learn how to overcome. But they are learning to overcome when the person to overcome is not there anymore. It's like you want to run a race in space. You are just floating. There's nothing resisting you. Why you want to run in space? Why do we reward athletes here? You are running against gravity. Gravity is designed to pull you down and keep you down. For you not all, think of somebody that does high jump. Those people that do high jump, I would jump with their back and jump so high. You blame them because they are defying gravity. They are going against the force. When they are learning the life of the overcomer in the world to come, you are not learning it with any opposition. So you cannot be as trained as someone who did it kicking against pricks. You want to lift weights and all you are lifting is a tissue paper, one ply, just cut one ply. Say, I want to build muscle and just lift it. You will lift from night to eternity before you get to add a cubit to your muscle. Somebody that is lifting 25 kg dumbbells, two, in a month will see the difference, You say, I'm working hard. There's no resistance. Now, to a lot of the church world, I'm sorry to say, that is not important. Part of the great harvest, that has to be paramount to your heart. Why? Because the Lord, what will trigger the end of the age are overcomers. Amen. Let me just stay here a bit. You see, one of the reasons why we must race to overcome is that your overcoming is not just to prove that you are better, you are wiser than evil spirits, which is important. It's also to invalidate their stay in the heavens. Did you understand what I mean? They are validly staying there. Why? Because we are the ones propping them up. We are the ones they are using to fuel their existence and their stay in the realms that they stole from man. Amen. And as long as that remains, we have not overcome to the point where God can say, we will overcome to the point where God will say,
All right, Satan, you are now officially irrelevant in the heavens. Nobody is supporting you. Nobody is allegiant to the things you preach. Nobody is allegiant to what you have chosen as life. In fact, nobody likes you anymore. In fact, we have enough people who are not using your things to live. Then they will be able to end the age. This age must end, though. Do you know why? Do you know why it must end? Because darkness is a ravaging force. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It's like 60. Yes. Arise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said, behold what? Darkness shall do what? Cover the earth. Are we together? Let's say amen. Let's say amen. Let's shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Darkness will cover the earth. You know, this looks like two prophecies at the same time. They've told us the knowledge of the glory of God shall fill cover the earth. And they're also telling us that what? Darkness will cover the earth. Amen. That is the parable of the wheat and the tares. When it says the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth, it's on two fronts. One, it will be so available that people will be without excuse. In the day when some angels shall sound, when it shall begin to sound, they say the mystery of God should be finished. God will declare everything that's required for you to arrive at the throne. You know, in the dark ages or before the dark ages, no, during the dark ages, a lot of what was required to please God was lost. Amen. Are we together? A lot of what was required to please God was not in the earth. People did not know. Before this age ends, everything you need to know to sit on the throne will be available. There will be no mystery. Everything, and that is the labor of God's servants and God's handmaiden. Mommy and daddy, okay, mommy and daddy, go to school. To make sure everything we need, because if they don't tell you, you can't know. No matter how sincere you are, if they don't tell you, you will not know. Why? Because such knowledge was stolen from the earth, were removed. There was a time in the earth where God is love was a reality of somebody. For you, it's still confusing us. God is, somebody said, this is the message that we have declared of him. We have heard of him and we declare unto you. Hey, what's the message? God is light. Oh, and in him is no darkness at all. To understand the depth and the enormity of that statement, you have to be where John is or was when he said that thing. Now, if you were around with those thoughts, look at me, look on me. I'm going to be poor and needy. I'm getting there, but just look on me. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Because if the restoration of light is what is going to help us please God, then anywhere truth is being restored, somebody who is interested in pleasing God should be very interested. If you are not interested, that means somewhere you do not understand the issue of harvest. Because until you arrive at that place of ultimate pleasure, you are not harvestable. You are not harvestable. And the degree to which you don't care if you are not harvestable or harvestable is the degree to which you are still a very big baby. Amen. To be mature in the spirit is to be moved by the things that move God. And to be unconcerned by the things he's not concerned about. A baby is concerned about things that are utterly irrelevant. Rubber band. For in some time in your life, even some girls, but every boy here, I can bet you, at one time, a rubber band was more important to you than food. Am I lying? Brother Sadiq? Oh, you never went through that. Some. There's any boy that did not play rubber band here, put up your hand. Rubber band was not important to you. I know it was important to Brother Nathan. As serious as you are, you... Am I lying? Boys, am I lying? What? Every boy, even the ones that went to farm. They may not know counter. Who remembers counter? Table soccer. Biro game. You understand? We know those things. Now, think about yourself when you were shooting rubber band. How many, some of you fought? You talk lot over counter. Am I lying? Some of you fought over table soccer. Somebody broke your biro, and then it was out. The world was going to explode. teacher must hear. You are crying, you are weeping. Now, when you think about that, what do you do? Baby. But at that time, it was not baby. It was life and death as far as you are concerned. In fact, it was more important than your mother, your father, than that rubber band was all. What am I trying to paint? I said, the degree to which you are not concerned about things that matter is the degree to which you are a baby. Christianity is to help you. The church is to help train you on things that matter. And ability to ignore things that are irrelevant. Do you know how many of us are still shooting church? I'm sorry. Shooting rubber band in the spirit. Chasing rubber band, chasing counter. Okay, coins. We don't know coins so much. We'll spin coins. And let the coins be fighting. And that's all your life at that point. In fact, it's more important than common entrance, more important than every exam, that counter at that point. In fact, you're only doing common entrance because mommy said you should do it. You did not know what was the importance of it. Now you have children. You grow to have children. You appreciate common entrance more than you appreciated it when you are doing it. But you know, if you did not listen to mommy and daddy and did that common entrance, you'll probably not be the doctor you are today. I'm trying to paint something. Sometimes when truth is being restored, you may not appreciate it. It will have to have worked in you and worked in you and worked in you and worked in until, oh, wait, yeah, wow. And that is one of the burdens that is on us as a local assembly, I dare say. We are the message of the word of righteousness, which is going to be the message of the church. Say amen. It is going to take over. It's not optional. Because everything required to be part of the great harvest must be provided before the harvest can happen. Amen. Otherwise, God will not be fair. He cannot expect you to grow and not provide everything you need for growth. He's not a hard taskmaster. It is his responsibility to make sure everything is available. But in the restoration of truth, you have to do it surgically. Otherwise, people can suffer from overload. Like all the water a plant will need all the days of its life. You don't water it one day. You know, if you do that, you will kill that plant. Today, a plant may drink one GP tank of water before it becomes fully mature. You now put inside, what am I supposed to put the seed inside GP tank and fill it with water. That all the water you will need. You know that thing will never grow. It must be what? Precept upon precept, line upon line. It must be delivered systematically. Now, do you know that anything where you stop, you say precept to, that's the degree of your level. That's your level of growth. I'm trying to paint. We say harvest. Harvest is the end though, but all the Lord has been building us up to, not just even you personally, even in the economy of the church. We said it time and again. There was a time where people had no idea about being born again. After a while, being born again was the only thing that the church knew about. And for many decades, even centuries, all the church knew about pleasing God is just get your spirit born again. Let your spirit be regenerated. Now, by God's grace, in the restoration of light, we are seeing that it's not just your spirit. Your soul has to undertake a journey. The main challenge we are facing is that we are in a season of the restoration of a major truth. And one of the people that can almost not profit, if they're not careful, in the seasons of restoration of truth, are the people that they're used to restore it. Why? Because we don't see the fruit. You understand what it means to be born again. Because you have heard testimonies. You have seen people that were not born again and they got born again and their lives changed. You have seen, your father has seen, your grandfather has seen, you have heard it. It is life in the earth. Not many people are yet aware of the impact that salvation of the soul will have on you. But it's you that God wants to use to make that impact available. As a testament, when people see that, oh, okay. You know, I gave the example of one of our brethren who went to preach somewhere and, he was in Bible school and answered a question. And the provost had to come and defend the question. When you talked about what happened when you get born again, you say, you are born again in your spirit, but your soul is not born again. And the man, he had an uproar. The uproar was resumed because everyone there who are born again did not see anything beyond that. And as long as you're not seeing the next level of pleasing God in your salvation journey, you are stuck. And as long as you are stuck, you are not harvestable. It's like a stunt, a plant that will not grow beyond this. Let's say this is a mango tree. And this is where this plant will remain for 55 years. You know, it will never bear fruit. If it never bears fruit, we will wait. After a while, the plant that we have planted and water becomes a burden to us. They will just remove it and go and look for one that will actually grow. Somebody say, God forbid. We cannot afford, no, to just rest on our oars. I'm born again and then that's all, that's fine. Then you will not be harvestable. You will not move to the point where you now have the capacity to be interested in things that interest God. I'm sorry, sirs and masters. Getting born again alone does not tweak the interest of your soul in things pertaining to God. Your soul still likes things pertaining to man. And we use the name of Jesus to accomplish the things pertaining to man. I will use it. That's why people don't struggle to fast and pray. I just want fasting and pray. Fasting, bidi, 7 days. You check, but check the motivator. Why is he praying? Why is he fasting? I can tell you 9 out of 10 times, they are fasting because of things pertaining to man. Because that's what the soul is used to. It takes the incursion of knowledge into a soul for a soul to begin to prioritize things pertaining to God above things pertaining to man. Let's say amen. And that's why Jesus Christ said, if anybody will come after me, he said, let him deny himself. Why? Because, and that's a very high statement Jesus was making. When truth is being restored, after you have demonstrated via milk that you have grown the 2 feet you used to walk into the world of Revelation, paraphrasing, faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, if you drink milk well, that's what it will produce in your soul. It will produce a regard, a belief in the Lord. You are still believing the Lord for things pertaining to man, but you are believing God. Let's say amen. Tell your neighbor, believe God. Jab your neighbor and say, believe God. Don't outgrow believing God. Don't outgrow faith in the Lord Jesus. We don't outgrow it. We build on it. We will always trust the Lord for everything. Let's say amen. There's no part of your life that God said, handle it, I'll handle the rest. No. Jesus said that the Son can do nothing of himself. He grew to the point where everything about his life. And somebody say everything. You're not saying everything. Close your eyes. Say everything. Open your eyes again now. Say everything. There is no aspect of your life that God left for you to handle. Somebody said, no, but God said, work out your own salvation. With what? Because why? He is the one that, he did tell that to people he's not working in. If he didn't work in you, cannot tell you work out your salvation. He said, what's he saying? There's something going on with me, in you, that I'm doing. Oh yeah, do it with me. Let's do it together. He will never leave you to chart your own course. It will be irresponsible of him. None of you left your child when he was born. I left your child. I don't burn you. They go. Nobody does that. The Lord will never do that either. The Lord takes time to train you until you become spiritually responsible. And it's only spiritually responsible people that are harvestable. So after you've done milk, your incursion is good for us to know, because when we're talking about the great harvest, we are talking about primarily a harvest into the nature of God. Let's say harvest into the nature of God. Say it again, harvest into the nature of God. Let's say amen. You are harvested into God's nature. But God's nature is not outside the introduction or the addition of his knowledge. And that's where to be very careful. We must be, like I said earlier, the capacity to please God is predicated on your understanding of how to please him that he teaches. If he doesn't teach you, you can never know it. And that's what we call revelation. In simplest terms, revelation is understanding of the person of Jesus, how he fulfilled all of God's commandments to the end and arrived at the throne. He did it by pleasing the Lord to the uttermost. Now, the secrets of those pleasures are not with men. Men are not interested. Amen. Men are not interested. Men are interested in what pleases them. It takes the addition of knowledge, what we call revelation. Somebody say revelation. After they drank milk, he now told them, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I now began to pray that the Lord will give unto you what? The spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Revelation. In what? The knowledge of him. Somebody say knowledge of him. Shout it, knowledge of him. They are bringing you the knowledge of him. Who is the him? Who is the him? Ah.
It's a lie. You answer this one.
Who is the him?
Somebody's God, God, Jesus, Jesus, God. Yeah.
Gorgeous. It's not gorgeous. It's very simple. Who is the person housing the knowledge of how to please God? Who? Who? It's the knowledge of Jesus. The person of Jesus. They break him down in pieces. So you, this is how I build somebody that can please me. From start to finish. They begin to measure his person to you. Person to you. It's his pieces of it. What you call revelation is not just something you say, at. It's a description of somebody's life. How he lived and pleased God. Let's say amen. Hallelujah. Are we together? If it's not described to you, there is no way you will know how to, no matter how sincere you are. Oh, I have the heart of David. I have the heart of David. God has given me a Davidic heart. A Davidic heart is very important, but you have to fill that Davidic heart with knowledge. If you don't fill it with the knowledge, it will have the heart, but it will not know what to do. That's why God judges heart. But as sincere people, he likes them. But it's not God. Sincerity is not enough. Oh, I'm sincere. I really want to please God. Do you know how? Why you need the heart is that so that when they tell you what to do, you quickly do it. But if you don't have the heart for it, if they tell you what to do, go to your, you don't want to do it. You have what you want to do before. So when they tell you what to do, I beg, this one is even more difficult. Let me do what I wanted to do before. And God will agree with it. Why? He's God. No. There is how to please him. And it is calibrated in the life of Jesus. Let's say amen. And that is what revelation brings to you. What we call meat. They begin to bring to you description of his person so that you know how to live to please him. You know, like I said earlier, the harvest, the great harvest is a harvest of pleasure to us. People that have pleased God to the utmost, to overcome is to please God to the end. Amen. If you do not please God to the end, then you are not harvestable. Now, we were reading Isaiah chapter 60 to show you that whilst, one reason why you need to overcome is that whilst the knowledge of the glory of God is covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, darkness is also covering the earth. Amen. And darkness is very aggressive. You and I, you agree with me that things are not getting better globally. The decadence is almost palpable. And scripture can never be outdated. I read many years of scripture. It says there is in Isaiah and Proverbs chapter 30. It says there is a generation that despises their father and does not bless their mother. It says the generation that is right in his own eyes but is not washed from his filthiness. I've not seen any generation like this one that is, you are taught to be right in your own eyes. Now, this was written many years before Gen Z or Gen X or Gen Alpha or all the gens, generators that we have, the generation, what gen. But that is a description. Man had to decay to that point. So darkness isn't just being put on the earth for show. Its plan is to decay. Now, if the Bible says, because iniquity will abound, what will happen? What will happen? You are not really saying to me, what will happen? You know, that's a prophecy that may our lives never fulfill. You didn't say amen, no. But that is why you need to race and overcome. Because if we finish the course of overcoming, then the enemy in the air will be irrelevant. And he that is turning out the darkness that is ravaging everyone will be taken out of the way. If that doesn't happen, God has had to do reset on the earth sometimes. Where a generation does not measure up to his standard, you just press reset, something will just happen, and then it's like he starts it all over again. Brethren, do not be deceived. This is not what we are discussing here that seems so high. Oh, wow. I can tell you, higher things were on the earth as knowledge before. You didn't get me. Higher things about the knowledge of God were on the earth. People were trafficking with knowledge higher than what you are saying. Ah, they are saying throat. They are saying nature. They are saying this. It's high. I'm sure if John was in our midst, you say, yeah, this is like
Wow, this is like primary four work. I'm just saying my own. I'm just saying. Their high took, like I said, that statement that he made, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, we don't know that thing. If you knew it, it will alter your life forever. It will recalibrate your being. John was writing from his being. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Anybody that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. There's something he was saying there that we still need a lot of light to decode. You would just think it's the normal love work you have been doing. I can tell you something higher. Daddy was describing levels of love when he was mysterious levels of love. You know, there's love for the saints, love for the brethren. They have then, it's Daddy that said, I'm quoting Daddy. And under Christ, we say, husbands, love your wife. When you get to brethren, he said, love the brethren. You didn't see wife there. That means something. I don't know whether John was married or not married, but I know he would have had couples he was overseeing. Amen. Was he telling the husbands not to love their wives? No. But there was a higher command and they could take it. If they couldn't take it, he would write it to them. That means these letters were not written to people who could not interact with them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So am I at the stage where they can write the book of John to me? And I'm reading that like, wow! I still need a daddy, okay, a daddy, kuchuku, a daddy, tokpe, a daddy, ayo, omasain, daddy, yola, daddy, everybody, daddy, leke, everybody to interpret this thing. Break it down, bring it down, bring it down, until I can comprehend. They was writing to a church that could relate with that thought. So don't be tired of the restoration of knowledge. Why? Because if it's not restored to you, you will not know how to be harvested, or you will not know how to please God. And if you don't know, you don't know. And nobody, ignorance is not bliss. Anything you don't, every law you are breaking will still punish you. Sure you know. That law will still punish you. You can't say, I don't know anything about gravity. And then you jump out to our skyscraper. I don't believe in gravity. Hey! A split second before you, payment, you will believe. So, splat, you are a believer. You will believe. Your heart will quickly believe. When you are called splat. Law, and so, I'm just, that's an example. Do you know how many laws we are breaking that are dealing with us that we don't know? You know, laws are, the reason why we need to overcome is that we are going to be raised to the point where we are no longer lawbreakers. Amen. Thank God it's being recorded. If we are not raised to keep the laws, keep the law. Ignorant, you know, you cannot say, I did not know. You almost have been stopped by police, stopped by. Take your paper. There's one paper now that's going around. CMR. Some people don't know that you should get CMR for their car now. But it's now yearly. I didn't know. Yes, sir. Now, the fact that you don't know, if they stop you and look for it, it's not there. Say, I didn't know. Do you know that? The fact that you don't know. So next time, make sure you know it. Oh, yeah, pack. They will not say, you don't know. Oh, sorry, be going. No. Any law you are breaking, ignorance of it is not an excuse. Lawyers, am I lying? Oh, there's a law you can break and say, oh, he didn't know. Let's excuse him. Maybe the judge is being benevolent. But I can tell you, because you have, the person that's prosecuting you is Satan. What do they call it? Prosecutor, Abby? You are the defender. The person that is taking you to court is Satan. Yeah, he broke this law. He broke that law. He broke this law. Said, God, you me a righteous judge. That's why you must receive revelation. If you are not interested in revelation, you will never know how to stop breaking laws. You will never know. Revelation is not just, wow, it sounds new. No, it's a description of how not to break a law, to keep laws, keep the law to the end. Because if we don't keep it, we will not be harvestable. Why? Because we are being ruined by another law that we taught to keep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we looked at harvesting up to that point. Then we began to understand after some point that the field that the Lord has chosen to plant his seed is the world. Let's say amen. Is the world. And the world, because, you know, when God chose the field as his world, he chose the world as his field. Satan came and stole the earth and put another world upon it. And the Lord still chose to plant his, according to that parable of wheat and tares, Lord still chose to plant his seed in that same evil world. And we said in the course of this study that
Understanding the dynamics of the world will help us keep up with the assignment of also reaching out, because we've also been taught that we're supposed to reach out concerning our faith. Let's say amen. Daddy also made that very clear. One of the days was running up. We are not, the fact that we are still learning, you say we are still learning, we are not yet grown, does not mean you should not open your mouth and preach the beginning of the gospel to another person. No, you should. Every opportunity you can, you don't need to be led. You don't need to wait for, the lead is already there. Go ye to all the world. Ah, no, that is actually talking about apostles sent ones. He's talking to you too. As long as your spirit is generated, you have the capacity to tell another person. And it is in order. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us that it was the people in the valley that were telling, come, let us go. It wasn't the valley, our mountain people that was preaching. People in the valley were telling each other, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Meaning at that level, they were talking to each other about ascending. So if you're not ascended, don't say you cannot talk to anybody. Talk to your fellow unascended person. I tell of you, oh yeah, let's ascend together. Come and be born again. Let's take this journey of life together. Let's say amen. Bearing that in mind, we must not be shy about entering into the field. Today's evangelism is not so much more of a megaphone thing. It's more these days online, because everybody is online. Everybody is online. You are even online right now. They said 60% of marriages now are begun online today. In the 1930s, it was family and church that the places where you see wife. Now, today, the predominant place where people see wife is online. I don't know how they're doing it. And I'm so grateful to God that I'm married. I am so grateful that that's not a challenge to me now. I had no cause to look online for wife. But that's the world we're in now. So I said, ah, no, it's not good. I don't know. You said, ah, your phone is not good. Your phone is not good. I said, that's how they said TV was not good. That's how that some place said, not good. See, that's how it's not good, not good, not good. Just trust God for wisdom how to handle it. He is here to stay. Until the Lord changes, he's here to stay. You will keep using it. That you will get, there's no way. You have, some of you, that is how you have gotten the money to marry, is phone. Not that you sold phone. Some of you even sold phone. Apart from selling phone, some of you, that's where your work. You know, people, you see somebody carrying his phone. He's typing, he's doing. You don't know what he's doing. Some of them are working. Some of them are answering query. Some of them are sacking somebody. Some of them are hiring somebody. Some people are closing a deal. All on that same phone. So the way people are living now is not where they used to live before. Facebook is a country, has citizens. In fact, if you check your dictionary today, it's a new word, netizens. You heard it before. Netizens. Citizens of the internet. You are all called netizens, and we are all netizens. All of us are netizens. Ah, no, I'm not. You are a netizen. You have a digital footprint that you don't even know about. You have a digital footprint. Every website you visited, they know. You say, I'm going incognito. Oh, you know, incognito does not hide anything. No? It just gives you, it's like you want to do bad, you put off the light. Are you forgotten that your mommy has infrared glasses? In fact, when you put off the light, she now begins to peep over your shoulder. But you can't see anybody. Because you can't see anybody. It's like your ostrich. You know, ostrich, when it's running, I see danger, I can't outrun it. You just dig a hole. I put his head in the sand. If I can't see you, you can't see me. So that's what incognito, I'm telling you for free. That's what incognito does. Because you are close to your eyes, I do like this. We cannot see you. Well, not me, but if they can see you. Oh, they can see you. You have a very mighty digital footprint. Very mighty. All of you have. And that's where the world lives today. So one of the things that we're encouraged, and I know Daddy tried this, especially during community service, is to encourage us to have a stronger online presence, because that is where the world is now. And but many years ago, almost 10 years ago, or closer to eight or nine years ago, one of our brethren who is now in the US, before he left, was part of the planning committee of EGFM, and he made a statement, and that statement never left me. We'll talk about, you know, how, then it was like 2014, 15, talking about having presence online. I was like, then, we're like, no, it's not really important. He said, see. He said, you don't understand. I said, people live there. That's where they are living now. And it's the truth. TikTok, people live there. It's a community. They have their own language. They have their own civilization. It's a country. Snapchat is still around. It's still around. Hey. The one I know is dead is MySpace. Who remembers MySpace? And it's old school. In fact, I felt, well, I remember somebody said, it's old people that use YouTube. I felt, I was pained. He said, old people, it was Pastor Leke that said that thing. He said, it's only old people that will use YouTube. I said, and I'm feeling funky that I know how to use YouTube. So am I now old? He said, they're on Instagram. And truly, truly, I don't know Instagram thing. It grams me. I'm like, I don't know. Just, but up in Instagram. See, it's real. It may not be real to you. I was discussing this with some pastors in Love Street recently who were at a function. And one of them was saying to me, and it was so true. He said, see, I said, I've had situations where I've had to counsel people because of something they posted online. And I said, why did they not come and tell me? The pastor said, ah. He said, they have told you. Once they put in their status, tears. Why me? You think he's joking. He's very serious. Oh, she's very serious. It's for us, it's tantamount to her coming to you and say, Pastor, I'm in trouble. And you say, no, this is serious, I'm serious. Why is she posting it? Ah, you better know that's where they live now. Otherwise, you will lose them. Because then Satan will come and send one son of Belial to encourage them there. And they'll be talking. And he'll be saying, they will be pastoring your people under you. You'll be there saying, hey! And somebody's chatting with them and talking them outside from under you. And then saying so, I say, hey, so I'd like to take this seriously. Anytime I see tears now, I will check. Ah, I say, on status, I say, why me? Why is this happening to me? I mean, I've had some. Now, where I am coming from, for me, it's an unserious thing to do. This one is very serious. Why would I post it? No, that is their reality. And that is their reality. They're there. Jesus will reach them. But we must have a mind for that level of harvest. Ability to go there. That's why you also must grow. You shouldn't be so caught up that once you enter TikTok, TikTok is ticking, talking you away as well. Just ticking, talking you. You know, TikTok is time. TikTok. It's not ticking you out. You should just following the bandwagon. You will need strength and might to enter this place, but we need to enter. Amen. So the idea is not, oh, no, forget it. This, oh, there is unserious people. And it's Satan that has trapped them there. Jesus, I'm sure if Jesus was alive today, Jesus would have a good phone. Maybe not an expensive one, but if he's going to chat, he will do the work online. I'm not sure he will say, come on. If he's going to say, come on to me, he will say it on a WhatsApp group. Come on to me. And they will come. You don't know that's God that first of all started group chat. Yeah, they. He started the first group chat. Let us make man. Three of us. And added man to the group chat. And then a virus. You know those people that, there's a group I'm on that Daddy introduced me to. Christian Library. There's one person that keeps posting Omega, this thing, Omega, Octa, this, Octa. He will post it and 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 post it. And he will post and post. So Satan posted and posted and posted. And then Eve clicked. Pew! And then you know what happens when you click? They hijack your WhatsApp. They hijacked our WhatsApp. I go, hey! Oh, like, dude, God said, try to start another one with Seth. Because God came, killed Abel. Let's start another one with Seth. He started with Seth. Oh, Seth. All of a sudden, we just saw another rival group chat. Kinky ladies of Genesis 6. And then people started leaving God's group chat. I just spot it. God said, it's okay. In fact, I will wipe out this platform. Noah, you and I are going to start another group chat. They started, it wiped out every, just deleted the whole group. Only 8 people. Started again. Started the group chat, were chatting, they were chatting on the in water, you know, on this floating. Close the window. Tell Ham to bring his hand inside now. There's a shark outside. Inside. Floating. Send a raven now. Send a dove. Open the door. God started growing. The group chat was growing. People were probably, another person now rose up again. This one now did not just send virus. He started another group chat again. And started marketing. Adventurous. Let's explore. Exploration Association of Nimrod Group. Explore. And drag everybody to the point they not only did not now build a group chat, they want to build another complete platform. That Tower of Babel was another platform. So we don't want WhatsApp. Let's build our own. He started building. I'm not calling anyone. So we'll build Telegram.
They started building. God said, I will crush it. There should only be what's up. Continued like that, God crushed it. Eventually, he found Abraham, added Abraham to the group chat. They were chatting. Come, follow me. Chatting. So where will I go? Just be following me. Am I there yet? Not yet. Are we there yet? Not yet. Are we there yet? Not yet. Let's play a game. Like, out there. You're not there. God there. Okay, stop here. God, it's only me that's going to be on this group chat. I have no seed. Walk before me and be thou perfect. But seeing I go childless, Sarah now sleeping. What about Hagar? Add Hagar to the group chat. Hey, brother. Temporary addition. Ishmael came out of it. He now begged God, add Ishmael to the group chat. God said, no. Add Ishmael to the group chat. Send invite. He sent invite on behalf of Ishmael. God just slid into Abraham's DMs. If you talk to me about Ishmael again, I have the one I will add. Keep quiet. Eventually, Isaac came to the group chat. Isaac was born. They put Isaac in the group chat. Follow me. If there's time, we'll reach Jesus. If there's time. Why are you enjoying the story? See, all of you are alive now. You see, that's where you live. You see? You understand it? All the things have been sweating, shouting since. Everybody's, there's no mind. No mind is wondering. All the minds, in fact, I can say all eyes on me. It'd be cool if you turn this into a cartoon. Or a chat. Not the way they do that. You even know where I stopped. I don't even know where I stopped. Kai! I forgot to seriously, I forgot where I stopped. Where did I stop, Virgin? Isaac. Isaac was born. They added Isaac to the group chat. All of a sudden, he just saw God leading to Abraham's DM. Delete Isaac. Remove Isaac from this group chat. For 3 days. Okay. I was about to click. I was only joking. I was only joking. You like me. In fact, you will have, I will add men. You see your children on this group chat. In fact, we'll have to create. In fact, WhatsApp will change its rules because of your children. They will expand. It's only one for, you will have 1 million per group. This group, they now expanded the group chat. Yeah, Isaac was born. Esau and Jacob were born. Let's start on Esau and Jacob. They begged Esau. Esau, stay in this chat. What is chat to me? How am I putting this on you, Charlie? What is chat to you? Jacob to Esau, are you sure? Make me admin now. Make me admin. What is admin to me? Have I take Jerry? So when our word was not coming for the administrator, Esau now put on his jacket. Say, can you come? Say, the administrator of this group just left here. The voice is the voice of a member. Say, but the skin is the skin of administrator. Have a bless. Administrator, yeah, take the reward for administrator. And then Esau came back. You bless me now. Okay, just take the reward of a very mighty member, but you can never be administrator. You administrator, I want you to follow this map. He sent him a map. Go to so-so-so land. You will meet other people. Don't add them to the chat. Just stay with them. I will tell you how to live with them. He lived with Laban. He now began to eye one babe in that place. God said, don't add. I will tell you to add. He said, I will add Rachel by force. Add Rachel to the group chat. God looked at her. Add Leah. No. Add Leah. No. Add Leah. No. Overriding privilege. I will add Leah by myself. Added Leah. Added Leah to the group chat. He pained him. Eventually, you know what happened to Rachel? Rachel eventually deleted from the group chat. But now he had 12 boys in the group chat. And they tried to remove one of them. Oh, they tried. They deleted him, but I think the guy was probably, I didn't know he blocked him, just blocked him temporarily. He blocked him for so many years, the guy went to Egypt. When he got back to Egypt, when they saw him in Egypt, they said, they just saw that for some reason, the owner of the overall owner of the platform had not only blocked him, had promoted him so much. In fact, they were told to go to him for certain privileges on the group. Who is this guy? He is our brother. And what have you? That's how Joseph was in He was a major, in fact, he had shares on the group. How can this guy have shares? Who is this guy? It's your brother that you thought, we thought we deleted. We know we didn't delete him. We only lied. Then went back to your father. So your father now just saw Joseph popping up in the group chat. Saw him popping up. Joseph, he's still around. You know the story, he went to Egypt. Now, they had many people on the group chat. The group chat was, how many people? 2 million strong. Of course, a rival group chat tried to delete the group chat. He didn't agree. They raised another person to champion the group chat again. Moses came, championed it, led them into the wilderness. You know that they troubled him. Many of them were deleted from the group chat. Only 12. The many were deleted. Many were just deleted. They were just deleted. In fact, some of them were deleting themselves by themselves. They were just misbehaving. You know, some people just enter your group chat and begin chatting about things that are not. There's what we are discussing here. We say it's couples garden. You say how to, what do you put inside couples garden? How to, all the things that are not relevant. So I normally say couples garden because it's close to me. Say how to sell car. Ha! Car advert inside couples garden. Couple answer. All manner of things. God said, we'll manage it. We'll just manage it. We'll manage until they enter the promised land. Fast forward. We need a new administrator. No, I want just sub-administrators. No, we want an administrator, a chief administrator. This administrator you add, it will be a terrible person to add him like that. They added Saul. Saul was reigning until eventually we saw what happened. Saul was deleted. Let me fast forward to Jesus. Because I want when Jesus entered that group chat. Let me just fast forward. So, you know the story, David and what happened. Eventually, the whole group chat was infested by Babylonians. they flooded the space, carried everybody away, scattered them in different, not just group chats, different platforms. Some to Instagram, some to Telegram, some to other chat versions, some that are not popular, just scatter them. Ah! But Nehemiah started to cry. This chat. I'm sure the father will be lonely. He started chatting again. And Lord said, reach out. Let's start bringing them back. They brought them back. Eventually, we just had Judah that just came back. But the project was not just to have people chatting. I want everyone to be administrator level like me. So what do I do? In fact, let me come down and buy a phone. Let me add myself as a member. Not as an administrator. I want to see what's troubling them. Why are they behaving like this? Let me come down. Let me get a phone. On damn one people buy then buy phone. When came down, bought a phone, flesh, came inside. You know, until Jesus came in the flesh, temptation was strange. They don't know temptation, it's not in their world. They can't tempt them, He came to flesh, picked up a phone called flesh, and began the chat. Hey, is this what these people are facing? Oh my God. Tempted in every point. I want to open this pop-up. Don't open that pop-up. Stay on the group chat. I want to slide. Stay there. Like that. Until at age 30. Do not say, just saw a major message from the administrator. Bam! A major administrator is on this group chat. And I like him a lot. Satan just say, excuse me, sir. Add me to the group chat. Add me, oh. If you don't add me, it will not be fair. Add me to the group chat. You know, it's a serpent. He just slithered into Jesus' private. He didn't go to group chat, he went to Jesus' private DM. Just slid there. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Private chat. Jesus just scrolled back to his private chat with the Father. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Copy, paste. Whence had this guy this sense? Private desire tried to Beelzebub. What? Where did this guy come from? Try again, master. Jump down from this building. Scroll, previous chart. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Copy, paste. Finally again, brother, worship me. Copy, paste. Ah! Sit and mute. Are we blessed? We'll finish it another day. Time has gone. Long and short of all this long story. You see, the message just preached in 10 minutes. All the one I've been saying since. I don't think anybody got what I was saying. For you to...
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mane non te verno ki amre nos te verio taladin antoveni ante nando breno diate ne messi. 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 Even my messi. Even my mercy that came even to the world of man when I stepped into this world. My mercy. My mercy. My mercy that stepped down even into a world ridden by sin and death. Even ridden by iniquity. My mercy. My mercy. My own mercy. My own mercy visited the world of man. My own mercy visited the world of man and showed man even the pathway out of death even unto life. My mercy took man from the zones of hell and took man even into a zone that is higher than heaven. Even my mercy, that's a mercy I'm extending towards you even today again. That's a mercy to show you, to show you, to show you, to show unto you that sin can be dealt with, that sin can be dealt with, that death can be a thing of the past, that you can pass even from death unto life. For I came even into this earth, even in the likeness of sinful flesh, and I rose even from flesh, and I rose even into the spirit, and rose even to become even a quickening spirit, and became a man made higher than the heavens. And I'm extending that mercy towards you. I'm extending that mercy towards you. I'm coming to you where you are. I'm coming into you even in the zones where you dwell. I'm coming to you even in the zones, even where Satan has locked you up in. And I'm saying to you, I'm not afraid of where you are. I'm not afraid of where you dwell, because I have journeyed through that path before. I have journeyed through that route before. I have been tempted at all points yet without sin. And I can lead you out. I can lead you out. I'm extending my hand of mercy towards you. I'm extending my hands of mercy towards you. Even in the zones of death where you dwell. Even in the valley of death where you dwell. Even in the darkness where you sit. I'm extending my mercy hand. I'm extending my mercy hand. For my mercy is outstretched again unto you. Even today. Even to draw you out. Even to take you on a journey. A journey from flesh even to spirit. A journey from hell even to heavens. A journey from death even to life. A journey from where Satan has locked you, and to take you out out and to give you liberty in the spirit. And to give you liberty in the spirit. A journey that can make a man not afraid of sin and death. A journey of mercy. For it's a mercy journey. It's a journey calibrated in mercy. It's a journey of mercy. It's a journey to change a man. It's a journey to alter a man. It's a journey to change your configuration. It's a journey to move you, to move you, to move you and mass out of the zones, even those zones he has locked you in. For I see where he has locked you in. For I see various locations, various points that he has locked you in. Even people that are locked in inferiority. Even people that are locked in and they keep looking at themselves. I am not good enough. I am not good enough. I'm coming to that zone. I'm coming to everywhere you dwell. I'm coming to every location where is Satan, even your enemy, even the enemy of your soul, where he has locked you in. My mercy has been outstretched to you. My mercy has been outstretched to you, even to lead you out, even to lead you out and to change your course of life and to put you even into where I'm dwelling. For where I am is my promise to you that there you would also be. Where I am is my promise to you that you would also be there. You would also be there. I preach a message. I have taken over the tongue of my servant. I have preached a message to you to tell you I am not ignorant of where you dwell. I am not ignorant of the places where you abide. But I can take you out. I can take you out. I can take you out. I'm coming to where you dwell. I'm coming to all your zones. I'm coming to all your communities. I'm coming to those places where Satan thinks I cannot go. I can go to any length, even to save my own. I am the one that leaves the 99 and go after the one. I am the one that leaves the 99 and go after the one. I am coming for you, my son. I'm coming for you, my daughter. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I'm not going to allow you to be locked in the world of iniquity. I'm coming for you, and I am stretching my mercy. I'm stretching my mercy. I'm stretching my mercy to bring you out. To bring you out. I am not tired of saving. I am not tired of saving, for I am wired even with salvation. I am wrapped up even in the world of salvation. I am not weak to save. I am not weak to save. I am going to save you. I am going to deliver you. I'm going to set you free, for I'm coming to that world. I'm coming to that space. I'm coming to Instagram. I'm coming to TikTok. I'm coming to Facebook. I'm coming to WhatsApp. I'm coming to where you dwell, and I will save you. And I will save you. I will set you at liberty. I will set you at liberty. Not a few, but many. Not a few, but many. I am the Lord, even the God of salvation. I am the Lord, even the God of salvation. Is anything too difficult for me to do? Is anything too difficult for me to do? I can save. I am salvation personified, and I will save you. I'm coming to your world. I'm coming to your world. I'm coming to your world. I'm entering into your world. I'm coming to your world. I'm coming to where you dwell, and I will bring you out. I will bring you out. I am mighty to save. I will bring you out. I will bring you out, and you will be completely saved, completely altered, completely altered, completely altered. Do you know? I would add you to the group chat of eternal life. I would add you to the group chat of those who sit on the throne. For I will take you out of those places. I will take you out of the wrong group chats. I will delete you. I am the administrator of all chats. I'm the administrator of all chats. I can remove and I can add. For I'm removing you from death and I'm adding you to life. I'm removing you from sin. I'm adding you to righteousness. I'm removing you from hell. I'm adding you to the throne. I am the Lord over all. For my kingdom reigns over all. I am God, your salvation, saith the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we lift up those hands and just appreciate the Lord? Amen. Wow. Pastor TJ was anointed to paint that picture. And it was just, you could see it was with a whole lot of inspiration. And then everybody's just opened up to that message. We will complete it.
Amen. I was just saying the interpreters should take note of that and so that they can work on it, because that's very creative, very creative. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. It just broke into, you know, helped a lot of us break into understanding. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. They will add you to the group chat. In fact, they've added you to the group chat. They've added you to the group chat. You know, the group chat I'm looking at is Hebrews 11. By faith. By faith. By faith. So by faith, your name, because they add you by faith. You need to, yes, that's a group name, by faith. Amen. So, you have to obey faith to be added. It means you have to obey a lifestyle to be added to that group chat. And it's a group chat that never ends. It's a group chat that will enter into eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. We are blessed. So we've come to the end of the Sunday school on the issue of the harvest. But I'll still be teaching along this line for a while, as the Lord leads me. I found that not living my spirit, you know, the seriousness of the Lord concerning it. And we are going to, by God's grace, you know, see touch it along many other avenues of understanding, so that we'll have a well-rounded understanding about the harvest. Amen. So right now, I want to assume that if they call you and ask you something about the harvest, you'll be able to say something about it, right? Right? Are you saying yes, sir? Okay, so I'm going to call one of us to come and, because this is, we are rounding it up together. What do you understand by harvest? What do you understand by harvest? Who wants to do that? You know, one of the things we do is that you will not raise your hand. When I call somebody, when the person, you know, says, maybe shares, then you now get something from what the person says and you want to come and say. So I'm just going to take few contributions, and then we'll also take questions, and then we'll be done. Anybody? Anybody? What do you understand about the harvest? Or you didn't understand the harvest? You want us to teach it again? Okay, so nobody's saying no. So that means you understand something about the harvest. So let me hear what you understand. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm trying to make sure that everybody is carried along, that everybody understands what we are saying. Don't just want to assume that everybody understood what was being taught. So if you, okay. Yeah, my sister, come along. Give a microphone. So just in 2 minutes, what do you understand about the harvest?
Good morning, church. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Mommy. What I understood from what was taught is that the harvest is God's agenda for man. God wants to raise man. So every stage of saving man is actually a harvest. From the point of being born again into God's family, your spirit has been harvested, though as a seed. Then to the point of your soul being saved, that's another level of harvest. So then to when we are saved to the uttermost, down to our bodies. So all of these are harvest, maybe seasons. And God also wants us to be harvesters with him. He wants laborers. So he said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. So I also understood that for us to be effective laborers, we have to be raised. If we're not properly raised, we cannot be effective in God's hand. We will not be useful in the harvest. So even as the field has changed and a whole lot is happening in the field,
if we're not raised, we'll get swallowed up and God will now start seeking for ways to also now bring us back or perhaps start the process of harvest again with us. So I'm seeing that this is a call to grow for every one of us. Thank you, sir.
Wow. Hallelujah. Wow, that was well captured, well captured. Explicit. Praise God. Very well. Thank you, my dear. Okay, somebody else that wants to say something? Something that, how many of us we are blessed by what she said? Just a summary of it. It just captured everything. In all that we've been saying, this is the sum of it. Okay, somebody else? I saw somebody raise hand over there. Somebody else wants to just share with us what you understand about the harvest. Okay. Give me a microphone.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My sister has already said everything. So what me, I just want to share.
As my sister has said.
So what I want to say are some of the things that stuck out specifically for me from all the lessons. The first one being that we should not just be comfortable as believers, especially people that are hearing this word, you know, just be comfortable coming to church, going for meetings, and you are hearing and you are obeying, and you just leave it at that. That we should also have a heart that wants to reach out to others, looking to bring everybody in via whatever measures that, you know, we find ourselves. And it was particular for me because most of the time I'm at work. And then there's just a tendency to just be on your own. But through this lesson, I'm saying that the Lord needs to help us with ways in which we can reach out. Sometimes you could just consciously say something during a conversation, you know, just different ways. Just the lesson just helped me see that we should not just be laid back about it. Then the second thing, which is, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago where Pastor TJ was teaching, is that in being skillful in what we find our hands to do, it will help us in the harvest. And he was giving an example of when he was in the choir, you know, and with some of our other mummies, and the difference between then and now, you know, where he also mentioned Pastor Larry and how he came up and how it has helped the work. And he just pointed the fact that it is important that we are very good at what we are doing. For example, if I'm working in an office, it's going to be very hard for me to reach out if every day my boss is having issues with me or I'm not delivering on my deadlines and all that. So it personally, because these are things that it personally, you know, instructed me on how to behave. So it made me know that, okay, me being diligent at work would help the harvest. It will help me reach out. When people come to meet me for help and all that, I can use that as an opportunity to just put in a word or two. Sometimes I'll just say, okay, because I've had situations like that before. And sometimes I'll just say, okay, this thing, though, I had difficulty with it, but I trusted God. And then God showed me the way to go about it. And from there, you sown a seed. So it's just teaching me to be conscious about reaching out and not just sit down and relax.
Wow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's great. That's great. Amen. How many of us we are blessed by that? 2 points he made. One was about reaching out. And I think one of the rounding up, I took time to actually explain it to us very well. And we need to understand that that is, you know, as much as we say that evangelism is not the heartbeat of God, but it is still a heartbeat. It's still a heartbeat. Now, this is the way I look at it. The field is a world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And then the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, imagine if it was one seed that was in that field. One seed that was in that field. One good seed. And then the rest are tears. Will you call it harvest? That's endangered species. So we can't afford to keep quiet, because God's intention is to reach everybody. God's intention is to convert those tears to wheat. And somebody has got to open up his mouth and talk. Did you understand what I'm just saying now? That's the point he's making. Now, if we, you know, I love that place in the book of Isaiah. I said, arise and shine. It didn't say arise and just shut up. Arise and shine. Part of shining is talk. You need to, in as much as we desire to live the life, that's part of shining, living the life. He also made that point that if I'm giving my boss headache, then it will be an issue. I may not be able to shine there, meaning I will not be able to reach out to anybody. That means also I have to live the life. But, you know, if I live the life alone and I did not do something, I did not talk to somebody, it will tantamount to Lot in Sodom. You know, Lot in Sodom, it was just him and his family. Then the rest of the people in Sodom, we are evil. And then when judgment came, you know, when judgment comes, judgment is just like a gelatin knife that will just cut. So if you have the height that will be chopped off, you'll be chopped off. And then when the thing is flinging like this, for you who is a righteous, because you're meek, you're lowly, you're gentle, you will have to duck for a long time. I don't know if you understand me. But he said, when Abraham was praying, he said, supposing you see 50 people, will you spare? 50. So 50 in Sodom would have saved Sodom. 30 in Sodom would have saved Sodom. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So there are certain judgments that would want to come upon the earth, or come upon the community, or come upon a, you know, as it were, a generation, that somebody, because you spoke, because you ministered to somebody, because you spoke to someone, and then, you know, some gave their life to Christ, you're able to have 50. And I want to say that if that 50 could save Sodom, then 50 today will save a country. It's a pattern. God does things with pattern. So all he just wants is 50 in your workplace. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Meaning there has to be a community in your workplace, a community of faith. I have one of our brothers staying in a particular place, you know, and when I got there, I told him, I said, see, you've been here long enough to have a community. You alone cannot just be the only person in the whole of this town hearing word of righteousness. I know you will connect, you will play message, you will join us in service on Sunday. But here, where you are in this town, because it's of a long distance, you can't come to church here, but you have to talk to somebody. You have to talk to somebody. You have to tell somebody. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. You have to talk to somebody. It might not even, okay, it's not one of, you might not be able to teach the person word of righteousness. Get the person born again. If the person is born again already, you know, you can begin to, what the little you know, do you know the reason for Christianity? Do you know the reason for Christianity? Do you know the reason for being born again? You know, someone said, I saw it on the YouTube. You know, you have all kinds of people on YouTube. The guy was saying, if I've not been to church for how many years, and I'm doing well in my business, I'm doing well in this, I'm doing well in that, so do I necessarily have to go to church to succeed in life? Do I need to go to church to succeed in life? Now, what he is seeing as the reason for going to church is absolutely, you don't need to go to church to succeed in life. Just be diligent in what you're doing. Go to school, learn it very well, and do it diligently. You will succeed. Bible says, see thou a man who is diligent in his work. He says, you sit before the king. But what is Christianity for? Christianity is not here to help you get what the world can give to you. So what when I saw that, I said, hey, ignorance on rampage. He doesn't understand the reason for being born again. Apparently, the person is a Christian. But he's a Christian But he said he has stopped going to church because he went to church. This one happened, the other one happened, the other one happened. I said the issue is that there is a misplacement of priority. So you can even, I mean, just a talk that there's something about, there's something more about Christianity than just succeeding in life. There are many ways you can succeed in life. How many of you believe what I'm saying? I've just shown you one way. Honestly, work hard, you will succeed. Right? Join politics, you will succeed. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are many ways you can succeed. But what is the essence of Christianity? You know, you can start from there and you would have, you, by the time you finish talking to the person will say, wow, I need to come to you again. I won't forget those days, just growing up in the faith. I used to talk a lot. I talk a lot. I will engage you no matter who you are. No matter who you are, I will engage you. I will talk to you. Just give me opportunity. I will corner you. I will talk to you. And I will come from an angle you won't know. I want to preach the gospel to you. So I remember one day I cornered one guy. I talked, spoke with him, spoke and spoke and spoke. He didn't know I was trying to get him. So when I had him come back over and over again and over and over again. So at some point, I got weary of him. Because each time he comes, he will just sit down and he's just listening to me and I'm talking. But I was working and he comes to the office. So sometimes I just, he's not part of the my colleagues in the office. So at some point I just got tired of this guy. So one day I asked him, I said, why is it that anytime you're passing, you enter my office? What's the matter with you? Don't you have something to do? He said, Kai, that each time he comes here and he listens to me, there's something that happens to him. He just goes home encouraged. Me, I didn't know. But with that, I discovered I was reaching him very well. I was teaching him God's word. What I was teaching was, the little I know was faith towards God. How to believe God for your needs to be met. How, you know, and that was it. But what I'm saying is that you know more than that. You know more than faith towards God. You know the essence of Christianity. You know the essence of Christianity. Why don't you share it? Amen. Because Christianity is a life that transcends this present. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I will take one more person, and we round up. One more person. You see, I said it now. When I say raise your hand, you didn't raise your hand. Right now, I'm seeing hands throwing up. Okay, let me see. I saw you first. Just what you learned about the harvest.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Just to attest to what Daddy said, I remember towards late last year, Daddy has started talking about harvest, and he told us that we should, even at our workplace, we should talk about Jesus, like we should talk to that, our colleague. So when I went to work, there is this Muslim colleague that I had. Something just, like I just remembered, that was on Monday of it when Daddy ministered on Sunday. Yeah? So I spoke to him. I was just like, how are you doing? I just spoke to him. He said, what do you mean? Have I finished sleeping that you are telling me that if I do go to church, you are asking me that he is a Muslim? So I just kept encouraging him. The first response he gave was not encouraging. But then Daddy started talking about it before Mommy declared it during the crossover service. So before I know it, I invited him for writing the vision. And he came for BIB conference. And when he came, what he told me is, he just turned and looked at me, said, you don't know what you have. And before I know it, after some time, he went to search NLWC Korodu. He said he attended the church. I said, how? How did you got to know about it? He said, he told me again that I don't know what I have. That thing even set me on my feet that this person is, praise God. So I just want to say that whatever is being declared in this place, we should go out and do it. It works and it will happen. It's just because most times why things that daddy declares in this place, the reason why we don't see it happening is because somewhere we are drawing back. We are not doing, we are not yielding. So when we really carry out whatever is being spoken in this place, it works. And as I'm talking to you now, he's a believer, he's a Christian. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Go and do likewise. Amen. Now, you know, I told you the other time I was talking about it. I said, nobody, was it? I did. Yeah, I said, nobody is born a Muslim. Nobody is born a Christian. All those things are excuses that people want to raise. You know, the first thing with a human being is that once you want to approach him, the person is defensive. Now, but you see, you are a warrior. I should be offensive with the gospel. Now, I'm not saying I should offend you. You know what I mean by offensive? When you're on the football field, you have those you call that play offensive, attackers. You call them attackers. I should be an attacker. I should not be just a defender. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Now, if she had drawn back when she said what she said to the person said, I'm a Muslim. And they said, okay, no problem. No, she went on invited, and look at it, the person is in the Ikorodu church right now. And the person will be eternally grateful to you that you didn't give up. And you see, what I'm saying is true. When we get to heaven, you'll see people who will thank you. I'm here because you preached to me. And some of them might be people you preach to, you minister to, you forgot. You forgot when you preached to me. Thank you so much. When you preached in that bus, I was there. I listened to you. When you preached when you were talking to that guy in the office, I was hearing you. That day something happened to me. And then when it now comes to maybe receiving reward, and the person is giving reward, and he will call somebody, Demilade, thank you. Because, you know, I didn't know, I was just a believer and I was just going to church. I didn't know what this thing was all about. But when you gave me that message, I listened to it, that turned my life around. I began to pursue after God. See, I would have been here. I would have made heaven. I would have been here without reward. But you showed me that there's a reward. The person will be eternally grateful to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I want us to, when I say go do likewise, I don't want us to close our mouths. I want us to open our mouths and share the gospel. Praise God. Somebody say, no, we are not doing evangelism like that. No, but it's not until we gather together and say we are declaring evangelism to this place. You know, no, where you are, you can be a laborer. Where you are, you can be a preacher. Where you are, you can talk to someone. Praise God. You can bring, and there are many ways. The Lord will inspire you. The Lord will give you wisdom on how to bring another person to the faith. And that person will be, I said, the person will be eternally grateful. Amen. Praise God. Okay, do we have questions? I'll just take two questions and then that will be it. We'll have the choir come up. Two questions. Okay. All right, let's have you. Okay, another question. Okay. So let's.
Good morning, Daddy.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. With the testimony the sister gave, it was also a question for me. How do you approach a Muslim? But, like, it's my dad. So it's difficult because we have tried as a family, we have prayed, but it just gets difficult. And sometimes I look at him and I'm like, I don't want him to leave the earth without knowing the Lord. So, because I am born again, my mom is born again, my sister is born again. But he himself, it's difficult. We've tried, we've prayed, we don't even know how to reach him. So it's just difficult for us. So.
You said, but, is that but that is a problem? You don't put but. When you're praying for somebody to be born again, don't put but. Keep praying. And if you don't mind, just pick this book by Hagin, How to Reach Family Members. how to minister to family members. Pick it and read it. That will help you. But I want to tell you something. I've always said that, and I believe it so much. I believe that scripture. It said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household. You know, your mother being born again, your sister has been born again, you being born again, that your daddy won't go to hell. No. I'm not saying that, no, automatically he will be born again. No, he will give his life to Christ. But this is what I'm saying. The Lord will not neglect him. The Lord will not neglect the labor of prayers. The labor you've labored in prayer, your mom has labored in prayer, you have labored in prayer. The Lord answers prayer. So remove that but. And don't say it's difficult. All I will just encourage you to do is to live the life. Live the life. Trust God to live the life. As you're living the life, what you're doing by living the life is that you're actually showing, you know, your life will speak more. Yeah, your word speaks a lot. But like your father now, he's the one that gave birth to you. That's the way he will look at you. But your lifestyle, your life, I know many of us here that our parents, we are converted because of the way we live our life. I know many of us, some of you, your parents are pastors in churches, but they left you to attend NLWC because they saw that your life is different. Your conversation. Are you understanding me? And minister to him. Minister to him. Pray for him. Don't relent in praying for him. He won't go. I want to tell you right now. I believe this scripture. Quote me. You will see it later. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household. It won't fail. In your own case, it won't fail. So don't perturb yourself. Just keep praying for him and keep living the life. And if the Lord, because you're growing up, as the Lord blesses you, you get a job, you are working, just minister to him. Just make sure that constantly you are ministering to him. Let him see your life. Sometimes he might be on the sick bed. But I don't pray to be so for him. Praise God. I've seen people who you thought they would never give that. That's why I said when you get to heaven, you'll be shocked. Some people you will see. You wouldn't know when the Lord encountered them. There's a famous communist. I've forgotten who is. They said they found Bible under his pillow of his deathbed. A communist. You know, communists don't believe that there's God. But towards the end of his life, he was reading Bible. I'm sure the guy, some things dazed him, and then he had to ask himself some questions and started reading the Bible. And then, now you wonder, okay, what of all the people he has deceived? That's how the thing, if the guy confesses the Lord Jesus, he'll be saved. Everyone has his opportunity. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. He himself is deceived. He's deceived by the devil, but the Lord showed him mercy. I don't know whether you understand me. So the Lord will show the rest mercy. Praise God. But what I'm saying, don't relent. Keep praying for him. Amen. Let me say this to us. When it comes to harvest, when it comes to reaching out to the lost, one thing you can't afford to do is to give up on anybody. Don't give up on anybody. Don't give up. The most unlikely person, the person who said, no, this person has gone too far. He has been an unbeliever all his life. He has done this. You'll be shocked. Don't give up on anybody. And the other thing also is that the person might give his life to Christ and then outrun you. You know, you mentioned it. The person can outrun you. The way the person, you know, he was saying you don't know what you have. And truly, some of us don't know what we have. Am I saying the truth? Many of us, we don't know what we have. We are just, okay, I'm in church, I'm in NAWC, I'm in EGFM, we hear God's word, we are going for convention. You don't know what you have. So there's another people that are coming. I call them the 11.50 minutes brethren. 55 minutes brethren. 11.50, 55 minutes, brethren. When they get here, that's the ones that, you know, during one of the parables that Jesus gave about the laborers, the ones that were brought in last, they were paid the same thing. You know why I feel they were paid the same thing? Because they saw that Time was short. So they labored. They had speed. They labored. The other ones have been laboring. I beg, let me rest. This one, you will soon get tired. You know, somebody told somebody, a young believer who gave his life to Christ, and that he was so zealous and was so zealous. And he read in the Bible about, you know, this sign shall follow them that believe. You know, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick. And then he went to his pastor and said, does this thing really work? The pastor said, well, you see, you are just being born again now. What you need to do, just wait a little bit. He said, but why is it here? Then he stepped out, went out, started laying hands on any sick person he found. And then, and God was confirming it. That's the thing. His pastor was already like, okay, we are, you need to calm down. But he was trying it. He believed God for God's word for what it was. And he was seeing the result. And so one of the days he was complaining about, he just went to his pastor to share with the pastor about some of the encounters he has had, some of questions, and then also the results. And then he was sharing with the pastor some of the breakthroughs he had had in that area. And then you know what his pastor told him? He said, it's because you're just a young believer. When you grow up, then you will see what I'm talking. So he said, if this is what it means to grow up, I don't want to grow up. Let me remain like this. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Amen. You're blessed. All right, so one more question. I said two questions. Any other question? Okay. Our sister.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay, so my question is, there are different categories of people we meet every day. Some are the unbelievers, which I feel is easier to reach the unbelievers than to reach Christians who are nominal, like the normal Christian person who goes to church every Sunday. Now, trying most of
a lot nominal of, Christian is an unbeliever. He's just familiar with church.
Yes. So such people.
There's nothing like nominal Christian.
It becomes difficult. They are more difficult to reach. Like they go to church. So when you're trying to tell them there is more to God, we know. So how do we reach such persons? Because I find them more around me than the unbeliever that you meet in the bus and you preach to. This category of people, how do we help them? How do we reach them?
Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's also not difficult to reach them. The first thing in evangelism, the first thing in reaching out to anybody is pray for the person. That's the first step in. If you've done evangelism very well, you know that the first thing is prayer. Begin to pray for the person and pray for the person and pray for the person and pray for the person. As you keep praying for the person, the Lord will show you how to. The Lord will orchestrate. Sometimes it might not even be you. Sometimes it might not be you. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Now you can be praying for someone and pray for the person, especially if it is family member. Most of the time, it is not you. I can bet you it will not be you. It will be somebody else. Somehow, some arrangement will be made by heaven to reach that person. I don't know whether you understand, but the first thing I want you to do is begin to pray for the person. And pray for the person. And then, secondly, ensure that you live a life that, not a religious life. Not a religious life. Not a life that shows more righteous than you are kind of attitude. But a life of love. And that's why I'll be teaching about love. Let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the first thing is, I said prayer. Secondly, live a life, a kind of life, a life of power. Not a flat life, a life of power. There's a way you live. I mean, of course, what you've been hearing, if you apply it, is a life of power too. You will exude a kind of power that the person will say, I want to be like you. Amen. Amen. Now, if you just do these two things, you've discovered that, first of all, the person, that life of power has a way of attracting people's attention. That this person is different. This person is different. Recently, I had the committee, streets people committee, you know, we want to interlock our street, and then they gather together, you know. They've been wanting to see me. They just want to see this pastor, you know. And they came at a very wrong time to see me, but I just had a nudging in my heart, go and see them. You know, I went out there and we got talking, you know. And you could just see that they saw that this person is different. This is just there's something just different about this person. He's not proud. He's not arrogant. He's not the, you know, there's a way they have idea about pastors. So this guy is just down to earth. So one of them said, that you would like to come and visit me one of these days, so that we can sit down and talk. I said, you're welcome. I'll welcome you anytime. Just let me know. You're welcome. And if he comes, I'm going to preach the gospel to him. He just entered into my trap. And I'll make sure he doesn't leave my house without being born again. But there was something he saw when we were talking. Because you see, whether you like it or not, you exude a fragrance. Yeah, you exude a fragrance. You send forth a fragrance. And without you talking so much. Now, you know, you might be wanting, okay, you want to convince the person immediately. No, you can't force it down the person's throat. Just pray for the person. Live a life of love. A life that a child of God should live before the person. A life of power. Before you know what is happening, your fragrance will begin to, you know, show. And then you see the person wanting to either be your friend or listen to you. That gives you a ground. Because once somebody is able to make you a friend, the person's heart is open. So you can minister to the person. Are you understanding me? But you have to be deliberate. If God gives you that opportunity and use it to do something else, then that's totally wrong. Because God is going to give you opportunity. Me, I look for opportunity. If I'm going to have anything to do with any of the neighbors, I have a very little time because I have a lot to do. But if I'm going to have anything to do with you, I have to define it. If I'm not going to use it to minister to you, I will not even get into it in the first place. Because it should just be a waste of time. Are you understanding me? So it means you have to be deliberate. So immediately God gives you that opportunity, quickly, don't waste time. Use it. Amen. I want to say finally, don't give up on anybody. Do you understand me? Even if the person acts defensively, don't give up. The person will give his life to Christ. The person will turn. The person will one day realize what it means to be a child of God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. All right. Are you blessed by that? I think we'll stop here. If you have a question, time is up. You can ask because I gave time for questions. Amen. But have you been blessed about the harvest? How many of us are going to be vessels in the hand of the Lord for harvest? You're going to be vessels in the hand of the Lord. You're going to yield yourself to be vessels in the hand of the Lord. Can you begin to pray? Just pray for yourself. Just tell the Lord, here I am. I rededicate myself again. I rededicate my life. I give my life to you. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel in your hands. Let's pray. Let's pray, everybody. Are you doing that? Are you designed to be a vessel in God's hands?
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.